Hello everyone. The reading this evening is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 13 to 20. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 starting at verse 13. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's church in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They displeased God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last. But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought, out of our intense longing we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did, again and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or our crown, in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy.
Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to be with you again. Please do keep your Bibles open at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, or turn back to that if you need to, and then we'll pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth and its power. We pray now that by the power of your Spirit, we may hear your voice and be drawn closer to Christ and made more like him. In whose name we pray. Amen. What binds us together as Christians? What are the ties that bind, in the words of the old hymn? What does it mean to be a member of the church? And how is that different from membership of other clubs and societies? I found this hat of Robbie's. It's a Hitchin Boys' School hat. Robbie used to wear this hat when he played cricket for the school. He really enjoyed that. He enjoyed the camaraderie, enjoyed the sport. It was great fun. Then I found this membership card for the Welsh Rugby Union, a gold membership card. I joined this club some years ago to give me priority booking for international rugby matches. And that was great fun. We've been to quite a few games and really enjoyed that. Now here's a photo of me 29 years ago with the group I used to sing with called Vision. We had great fun travelling around the country singing in different venues. It was a lot of fun. But is it any different belonging to Christchurch Baldock compared to belonging to any other sporting group or a music group, for example? Well, the Bible says to us there's all the difference in the world. And there are three shared experiences in these verses which bind us together. Three shared experiences which you don't find in any other club or society. A powerful word, a pattern of suffering, and a promise of glory. Firstly then, a powerful word. Verse 13, Paul says, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a mere human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe." Paul says he thanks God that the Thessalonians received the word of God from his lips. It's an outrageous claim if you think about it. Paul says, "When I speak to you, God speaks to you." If someone came up to me in the street and said, "By the way, as I speak to you now, God is speaking to you," I'd be somewhat suspicious of that claim. But Paul says it in all honesty and all transparency. "When I speak to you, God is speaking to you," he says. And if this is true, then we must obey Paul's word as God's word. We must trust Paul's word implicitly as being God's word itself. proof of the pudding that this is God's word is in verse 13. It is indeed at work in you who believe. As we open our lives to God's word works within us. It makes us more like Jesus. It shows us our sin. It shows us our Saviour. We're drawn closer to him and we become more like him. The word of God is indeed at work in you who believe. And this is a shared Christian experience. As we come to God's word day by day in our personal reading of it, as we come to God's word in church and hear it taught and explained and proclaimed and applied to us, we all have this shared experience of God's word being at work within us. Now, much as Robbie enjoyed playing cricket, there wasn't a shared word which worked within each one of them in the cricket team. This experience is unique to the church and it binds us together with all other believers. A powerful word. Secondly, we see here a pattern of suffering. Verse 14. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews. So when Paul says you became imitators, you think he's going to say you also shared the gospel. You also did the same things that the Judean churches did. But he doesn't say that. He says you became imitators by suffering for the gospel. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews. Paul says that the Thessalonians suffered from their own people the same thing the Jewish believers suffered from the Jews. And that brings us, verse 15, to Paul's critique of the Jews. We find these verses somewhat uncomfortable. He says they killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone. In their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. We feel rather uncomfortable about describing a whole people group in this way. Is Paul being anti-Semitic? Is Paul being racist here? Well, no. He's only describing those particular Jews who opposed the Lord Jesus. And Paul is himself a Jew. So he's describing his own people here. And we know from Romans 9, verses 3 and following, how much Paul loved the Jewish people. He says, "For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race." Paul loves the Jews so much, he could almost wish that he himself were cursed, if that would mean they could be saved. He almost wishes that he himself could go to hell if this would save the Jewish people from going there. Paul loves the Jewish people and he describes them in terms of great honour. He says, the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs. And from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. So Paul holds the Jewish people in the highest regard. He describes their privileges in the Old Testament, the fact that they are God's children, the fact that they had this unique experience of a relationship with God, the fact that all the Jewish patriarchs came from them, all the founders of the faith, came from the Jewish people. And ultimately, Jesus comes from the Jewish nation. Jesus is Jewish. Jesus, who is God over all, forever praised. So Paul is not being anti-Semitic here. He's describing the fact that the first Christians were Jewish and the first persecutors of the faith were Jewish. And the fact is that we would have behaved no differently if we'd been in their position. Apart from the grace of God, we would have behaved no differently. We would have opposed Christ. We would have opposed his gospel. So there's no sense in which we're looking down on the Jewish people here. We, like Paul, hold them in the highest regard and honour them. And then what does it mean in verse 16 when it says, "In this way they always heap up their sins to the limit. The wrath of God has come upon them at last." God has set a limit to the amount of sin that any person can commit. And the Jews are heaping up their sins to this limit. They are sinning against God. They are opposing the gospel. And so the wrath of God comes upon them. Does this mean the Judean famine of 44 to 47 AD? Does it mean the riot and massacre in Jerusalem in 48 to 49 AD? Does it mean the expulsion of the Jews from Rome in 49 AD? Or is it a more general statement that when we sin, this leads to God's wrath on our lives? I think it's that. That when we sin, we fall under God's wrath. We will be judged. We will be sent to hell. And therefore we need to be saved. Therefore there is an evangelistic urgency here. All people need to be saved. All people store up with God's wrath by sinning in their lives. So here we have a shared experience, a pattern of suffering. The Thessalonians experience the same thing the Judean Christians experience. They suffer persecution for the gospel. And all Christians suffer. We might suffer overt persecution. Or we might just suffer general suffering, ill health, financial problems, family problems, work problems. Could be anything. But there is a shared experience of suffering for all believers. And that binds us together with all our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we've seen a powerful word which works within all believers, binding us together in Christ. And we've seen a shared pattern, a shared experience of suffering. But thirdly, what we see here is a promise of glory, verse 17. "But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time, in person, not in thought." Paul feels so strongly for the Thessalonians. He loves them so much that being separated from them is like being orphaned. And this word orphaned can mean parents without a child, as well as a child without parents. And Paul has already described himself as like a mother and like a father to the Thessalonians. Paul loves them. He longs to be with them. He wants to see them. That's what he's saying. For some of Paul's critics in Thessalonica were saying, "Oh, that Paul, he never visits you. He's not interested in you. Where is Paul?" And Paul is saying, "I want to see you. I love you. I love you so much. I just have to see you. And the reason I've not seen you," verse 18, "is that Satan has frustrated me. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way." It was Satan who didn't want Paul to see the Thessalonians. Satan knew that Paul would strengthen the Thessalonians when he saw them, that he would pastor them, that he would teach them. And so Satan blocked Paul's visit to them again and again. This is why Paul hasn't come. Not because he doesn't love them. He does love them. He loves them so much, verse 19. He says, "What is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." Paul says, you Thessalonians are our hope. Our hope for the future is that you believe in Christ and that you will pass on the gospel to the next generation. You are our joy. Nothing gives Paul greater joy than that the believers in Thessalonica love Christ and are going on with him. And you are our crown, says Paul. The crown here is the laurel wreath that was awarded to the winner of a race in the games. Paul is saying the Thessalonians will be Paul's reward, his crown, when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again, Paul will not just be thrilled at seeing Jesus, he will be thrilled at seeing Jesus, but he'll be thrilled that the Thessalonians are going to be there. And this is a shared experience of all believers. Think of the people you invest in. Think of the other believers you phone up or visit or write to. Think of those you've helped to come to faith. Think of those you've discipled in the faith. They will be there on the day of Christ's return, and you will see them. And you'll be so thrilled to see them. You'll see how you invested in their lives, and now they've been saved. And they're with you, with Christ, in the new creation, for all eternity. It's a wonderful thing to invest in other believers, as Paul invests in the Thessalonians. And so they become his reward, and other believers will be our reward in heaven. So belonging to the church is quite different from belonging to a sports club or belonging to a music group. There is a powerful word which works within all believers, binding us together, making us like Jesus. There's a shared pattern of suffering. We know what it's like for one another. We go through similar experiences. We suffer. And there's a promise of glory. We will be together in eternity with Christ, enjoying him. It'll be a wonderful experience. So what about you, brothers or sister? This powerful word, can you see it at work in your life? Can you say, yes, I've opened my life to the word of God. I believe Paul's word is the word of God. And I can see it at work in my life. I can see how it's making me more like Jesus. If that's the case, thank God. Thank him very much that his word is at work in you. And pray that it will be your experience more and more. Come to the word day by day. Come to church. Receive the word into your life more and more. If that's not true of you, then start today. Open your life to God. Open your life to his word. Say, I want you to come into my life, Lord. I want you to work in me by your word. And then this pattern of suffering. Are you willing for that? Have you said to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to serve you, come what may. I love you. I want you in my life. I want to serve you, even though this will mean suffering for the gospel. If you haven't said that to the Lord, say to him today. If you are suffering, be strengthened in your faith. God is with you. God loves you. God will strengthen you. And then there's this promise of glory. Are we looking forward to being together for all eternity? It would be a wonderful thing. Free from sorrow, free from sin, free from suffering. We'll love one another. We'll love Christ. We'll be with him. We'll enjoy him for all eternity. What are the ties that bind? What binds us together as believers in Christ? We've been separated now for many months. What does belonging look like now in the pandemic? Well, there's this powerful word that works within each one of us. How can you share God's word with another believer? Who can you phone? Who can you text? Who can you encourage? Could you record a short testimony for the church for us to show on a Sunday? God's word is working within each one of us. It's a shared experience and it binds us together. Then there's this pattern of suffering. Who do you know who's suffering? How can you encourage them? Who can you phone up? And we're longing to see one another, aren't we? We can relate to Paul's longing to see the Thessalonian church. Satan is keeping us apart, as he kept Paul from the Thessalonians. This pandemic has been tough, hasn't it? It is demonic. It's a horrible thing. And this longing for one another is a sign that we belong together, that we are God's people, that we will be together for all eternity. So shall we come to God now and thank him for his goodness and his love to us? Father, we thank you for the great privilege of belonging to your church. Thank you for your powerful word, which is at work in each one of us as we open our life up to you. Lord, would this be our experience more and more, that we see you at work in us, changing us, making us more like Jesus. Father, we acknowledge this pattern of suffering. Lord, we don't like that. We find suffering very difficult. Please help us in this, Lord. Help us to love you. Help us to be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Help us in all the general suffering we go through. Help us to keep trusting you and keep loving you. And thank you, Father, for the promise of glory. Thank you that those Christians we've invested in will be our glory, our reward, our crown for all eternity. Father, we look forward to that day and give you our thanks and our praise now. In Jesus' name, Amen.